This week, we're going to war on four wheels.
But not with these tiddlers.
Welcome to the last episode in this series. This week's challenge combines the martial artistry of medieval knights with a few modern innovations. Radio controls, beefy engines, and some truly ludicrous heavy metal weaponry.
The team's challenge is to take an ordinary car and convert it into a remote-controlled fighting machine. The winner will be the team whose vehicle survives the longest in our spectacular mechanical duel to the death.
First into the Gladiator's ring are the champions of Scrap Heap 2001. Gary, Tim and Shane, better known as the Catalysts. Over four blistering rounds of competition, the Cats hoovered up the Chaos Crew in our street cleaner contest. Took a swing at the opposition in our mobile crane race. Clawed their way into the final with their tunnelling machine. And surfed onto the winner's podium with their hydrofoil.
To help the Cats, we've enlisted James Holstead, a top car design engineer from the Motor Industry Research Association.
Against the Cats, we have the top dogs of Scrap Heap, Nosha, Daz and Kev, alias the Megalomaniacs. In 1999, they took the trophy after marching to victory on their outlandish walking machine. In Scrap Heap 2000, they returned to defend their title in our dragster duel and won.
To help the Megs stay on top, we've enticed electronic expert Ian Walters to come and play. Ian's a wizard at robotic animation and control.
OK, chaps, let's go beat the pink pussycats.
Are you ready to make another device of beauty?
Yes!
It's a battle between Brainbox and Barbarian.
Teams, your challenge today is a duel on wheels. Yes, teams, I command stunt to you to build the most powerful, vicious, agile fighting car the Heap
fighting
has ever
car.
Seen.
Oh, yeah. Fighting car.
Cool, baby.
Now, sadly, although we'd like to see you kill each other, the judges have decreed that the vehicles must be remote controlled.
What?
So the team who wreaks the most havoc on their opponent's machine will be the winners.
OK, teams, you have but 10 hours to build your vicious fighting machines from when Kathy dongs the donger. Toll that bell of doom, Kathy!
Are you ready?
Yes!
Go!
Oh, what a fantastic challenge. Brilliant.
To build their machines, the teams will need to take a car and adapt it for remote operation of the four key controls. Steering, brakes, accelerator and gears. Using radio control bits from a model plane, they can drive powerful electric motors to turn the wheel, push the pedals and shift the gear stick. The cars will fight over three rounds and score points for hitting targets on the other machine. 10 for a sideswipe, 20 for a rear ender and 30 for hammering the roof. At the end of three rounds, the team with the highest total score will be the winners.
So for a start, we need a vehicle. The bigger the vehicle we can get, the better.
We want to have automatic. Transmission and power-assisted steering if possible.
Yeah, okay.
The Catalysts want the biggest, beefiest vehicle they can find for maximum weight and traction. Power steering will help because it'll take less effort to turn the wheel. And an automatic gearbox has a simple push-pull lever to go from forward to reverse, easier to automate than a manual gear change. They'll also need loads of armour plating and vicious weapons to nobble the enemy.
Hammer, spike,
cannon.
We could knock up a flamethrower, I think.
Is it entirely practical for the...
This is a brainstorming session. Nothing's dismissed in a brainstorming session. We write everything down.
The Megs waste no time thinking about remote controls. Their top priority is attack.
Weaponry.
It'll be good to have something if we ran into the car. Something's going to just flop over.
As it on the roof?
Yeah.
The Megs plan to give the Cats a headache with a massive spring-loaded hammer on top of their car. As they bash the opposition, the inertia of the hammer will bring it crashing down on the other team's roof for 30 points. The spring should then boing it back up for another hit.
If we can obliterate the car...
All the better.
All the better, yeah. Which is the idea, isn't it? Let's not muck about. We're going to smash it to bits.
And they're off. Both teams are on autopilot and full throttle. Megalomaniac Kev has already bagged his first swag. It might not look promising, but this wheelchair's crammed full of powerful electric motors.
Wheelchair motors?
Good start.
Excellent.
Nice.
Right, see what we can find.
You've just got a wheelchair, Kev?
Yeah.
We thought a wheelchair would be ideal for the motors.
Well, we just saw it on the way out, so we thought we'd grab
it. So you're not, that's not going to be, you're not going for small.
No.
Tim and Shane are also under pressure to find something for Captain Gary to play with. Tally-ho! One radio-controlled model plane.
Oh, well done. What was that? Who brought that in?
Cheers, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you.
What's he brought here?
Oh, God.
Is this the sort of stuff you're looking for?
This is it. This is what we need.
It's not the plane that Gary wants, but the radio-controlled goodies inside.
One liberated control system, sir.
The vital bits are little electric motors called servos, which can pick up a radio signal from a transmitter and convert it into movements of a tiny arm. The arm can then be used to operate a much bigger electric motor, which will drive one of the car's controls. The teams will need a separate servo to operate each of the four main functions: steering, brakes, accelerator, and gear change.
It's amazing. It's going to be the most destructive thing we've ever done, and it all comes down to these little twizzly
tiny
bits.
Tiny bits. So.
And have you ever built anything remotely like this before?
Not on this scale. I've built cars, planes, boats, and
more this kind of size.
Yeah, this kind of size rather than...
This is much more fun.
Kev and Daz have found Nosh a big toy, and all it needs is a quick valet, Meg style.
Next question is, will the damn thing start?
Quite a lot to go to, actually.
Top Cat scavengers Tim and Shane are digging their claws into a tasty, oversized van.
The Windstar is good because it's got electric windows all round and stuff, so...
The cats may be able to use the window motors to automate the driving controls inside their car.
OK, let's...
The Megs still have their magic touch.
Oh, lovely.
We have a runner!
Well done, bro, well done. Sorry, son, you can't park that here.
Automatic as well, my lad.
Hey.
The cats are hot on the Meg's heels with their hefty killer van, but Nosh thinks it's spineless.
It's plastic.
I presume it's, yeah. I mean,
steel.
Yeah.
Hello. Good night, Vienna.
Teams, you have a lovely, delightful 9 hours remaining. Happy, happy 9 hours. Thank you.
Action. Look at that. That's a fantastic window lift. That's got grunt, hasn't it?
Oh,
it's got a nice lever arm on it as well.
It has. Smooth action.
The cat's van has two electric window motors, which they can use to automate two of their car's controls.
One electric motor.
Again.
They'll attach the arm to their automatic gear stick. As the window lever opens and closes, it will move the gears between forward and reverse.
From there to there is 370. What's it from there to there?
Now Gary can get down to do what he really likes, drawing pictures and doing sums.
3.25 divided by 1.5 equals...
They're checking the window winder arm will move far enough to push the automatic gear lever between forward and reverse.
Nosh doesn't do maths. If the door's jammed, he simply picks the lock, Meg style.
Big hammer, look at that.
He's happy now. He's got a car and a pickaxe. The mixture of those two things make Nosh very happy.
Hey!
Scavengers Kev and Daz are on the hunt for bits to automate their brake and throttle. Daz reckons he's got the perfect part for the job, steering arms from a Beetle.
That's brilliant. That is just fantastic. That's just going to save me so much time.
The Meg's plan to use the two arms to push the brake and accelerator with just one electric motor. The arms will link the pedals to a swivelling yoke. When the motor twists the yoke one way, it'll push the accelerator and release the brake. Twisting it the other way should do the opposite. It's ingenious, but if the motor fails, they'll lose control of both functions at once.
To help us keep track of the team's progress, we've invited along Martin Smith, an electronics professor at the University of Central England.
How do you do, Martin?
Hello, Robin.
Have a sit down.
Thank you.
He's one of the world's leading experts on artificial intelligence and robotic technology.
Let's go over each team as they are now.
Well, the catalysts are doing a little bit of mathematics. Right. Not very complicated, but it saves an awful lot of time. Yeah. Instead of building something and seeing if it works, they know it's going to work pretty sure before they build it, which is nice to see.
Very clever, and unfortunately not exactly the way the megalomaniacs have been working.
That's a lot of metal bashing going on over there. These guys are doing the mathematics first.
So, and are you happy with the kind of basic design they've got for their control system?
Not entirely. What they've chosen to do is something I don't really like, which is they've chosen a single motor to work the accelerator and the brake through a lever.
Right.
So you get one motor working the brake or the accelerator.
Does that mean they only need one control system for that?
Yes.
Right.
Which sounds pretty cunning, but... They're going to use a very powerful motor, and really when you want a very small motor to work the accelerator, because it only needs a small force, but you need a very big motor to work the brake, because that takes a lot of power.
I see.
If you use a really big motor on the accelerator, it can rip the accelerator off the engine mount, so that wouldn't...
Just push it through the floor or something, which is not what you want. So at the moment, who's your money on then, catalysts or MIGs?
My money's on the catalysts at the moment.
Right. Yeah. Catalysts have it.
Time to see what Nosher thinks.
Yeah, so but like you said, this one's got to only push lightly, and that one's going to push really hard.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter about the other side. It doesn't matter if it pushes the accelerator hard.
Too hard, but it'll mean that it'll power off. You like that, okay, fair enough.
It's going to be wheel spinning.
I mean, it's nice because it's simplifying it down to one thing, and very cunning.
Yeah.
But isn't the problem, I mean, if it goes, you lose double, really.
Yeah, there's no safety backup.
Right.
The cats are ready to test their automated gear change.
All right, Tim. Ring of a prayer, mate. Is this going to work?
Servo's on the side, which isn't good.
Oh, it does. It hits the top of the motor.
I can just sort that out somehow.
The gear change lever is jamming against the electric window motor. If this happens during the test, they'll get stuck in reverse.
And all's not well in the blue corner either. After fitting the windscreen wiper motor to his brake and throttle system, Nosh has discovered a problem.
It's not fast enough.
We can live with that, Gary.
The cats have been going nowhere fast as their gear change keeps jamming. But after some nifty recalculating, they've fixed it.
That goes on there. Oh, that is so nice.
Oh, look at that.
He's going to want me to do
this. With less than 7 hours to go, they need to automate the other functions on the car and fit some weapons.
The Megs still have the blues. They spent the whole morning connecting a motor to their brake and throttle system, but it was too slow. While they stew over a brew, Nosh thinks he's cracked the steering.
You've only got to put the little servo onto there.
That's true.
Forward, backwards, forwards, backwards.
Yeah, that might be right.
Possibility.
Yeah, okay.
Possibility.
Nosh's plan is to cut one wheel and motor off Kev's electric wheelchair. In true Meg style, they'll just slam it straight onto the steering wheel of the car. Unlike the calculating cats, megalomaniacs don't do sums. Their motto is, just stick it on, and if it don't work, try something else. Hopefully the wheelchair motor will do the trick.
Come well over this side.
Yeah. Teams, you have 5 hours.
No.
Happy
afternoon. 5 hours?
No. 5 hours remaining, teams. Five jolly hours. Thank you, teams.
No peace for the wicked, is there?
Tim, what are you doing? Doesn't that belong to someone if you just pinched that?
In the cat camp, it's not all boring maths lessons.
You're getting it.
OK, we're going for a ride.
Go, guys. Cats, go.
Loons.
Well, I guess that might be the drivetrain for the steering.
Yeah.
Tim, can you stop prattling around and come back, please? We need to discuss steering rack ratios with you. Over.
This is fun, we're enjoying this.
Enough tomfoolery, you fools. Come on.
The cats want to use the bike's chain and gears to turn their steering wheel. They plan to replace the wheel with the big pedal gear. They'll fix the bicycle's driving gears to an electric motor on the floor of the car and link the two with a chain. The beauty of the system is they'll have five gears to choose from. so they can get the speed of their steering mechanism just right.
Working out the optimum turning rate means Gary can indulge his favourite pastime, counting.
14, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2,
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
6.65 seconds, yeah?
They need to work out which gears will allow them to turn their wheel at the best speed.
13 seconds.
Have I done something stupid there?
I think so.
Got a ratio of 3.4.
That's the way to do it!
I think the catalysts seem to have done a lot more forward planning.
There's a lot of calculation. Well, you can see there's a piece of paper on the floor there with high-level maths.
Yeah. See, that's the trouble. I would have been at the back of class sniggering and not concentrating on my maths. And they were at the front listening. That's the difference between me and the catalysts. I think I would have been at the back with the megalomaniacs.
Chucking, chewing.
Yeah. What's that about, what's that about sums?
It's time to see if all those years sitting at the front of the class have paid off.
It's so exciting. It's really brilliant.
Gary's in love.
So how long do you reckon it's going to take before all the kind of remote control-y stuff sorted, basically the car controls?
Half an hour, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, really, as little as that?
Yeah.
So then you've got the rest of the day to play. So how confident are we about seeing... Well, it would be the second cup in 2 weeks in your hands, wouldn't it?
Very nice.
You're very nice, and we're feeling very happy and very good at the moment, aren't we?
Yes.
Very good.
Those Catalyst boys have really shot ahead, haven't they? It's amazing what they've done.
Yes.
They've actually apparently got a steering that actually works by radio control already.
That's really great to see that moving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like the megalomaniacs are sort of, they're a little bit more wibbly-wobbly about focusing on the steering control. What are they doing for that?
They're steering. Right. Well, first of all, they were going to use a windscreen wiper motor. Now they're moving to the wheelchair motor.
Right.
Because they can just bolt the wheel of the wheelchair straight onto the steering, which is absolutely ideal for what they want.
Yeah.
But they're trying things almost at random instead of calculating first.
Yes, because they're so keen to do the weapons. That's the bit they like. That's the bit they were cheering about when they first did. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's make a big hammer. Let's make a big spike on the front.
Doesn't matter if it doesn't actually move, go along or turn.
But the Megs are fighting back. They've cooked up another use for the wheelchair that might just save their bacon.
You fighter. That will do. That will do. That will do nicely.
Nosh has realised they can use the other wheel and motor to power their brake and throttle.
The Meg's idea is to fix the wheelchair directly onto the yoke on the floor of their car. As the wheel turns clockwise, it'll push the brake pedal down and lift the accelerator. Anti-clockwise, it'll push down the throttle and release the brake. The wheelchair motor is much faster and stronger than the one they had before, so their system should have plenty of grunt.
That's good enough. Yeah, I understand that. This I love. I had this explained to me. Really clever.
So then the other wheel from the wheelchair is on the steering wheel then?
Yeah, it's just a hound.
Now I'm getting... I'm approaching enlightenment in the world of megalomania. So that goes there.
That just goes on there.
Right.
And that'll turn our wheel as fast as we like.
Right.
The cats are also using a tried and tested system on their brakes, the second electric window winder from their van.
Oh. Bends the floor. That's a strong motor, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That really is a strong...
The only control they now have to automate is the throttle.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, I'm trying to set up the throttle linkage here so that we've got some proportional throttle control.
Right, you're not going to press it against the pedal then down in the...
No, we're just going to have a link direct to the throttle.
Right.
And hopefully that will give us an accurate, this is full throttle, this is...
Right, so you can actually go vroom almost with a lever on the remote control. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's clever.
The accelerator doesn't need a lot of tug to move it, so they can control it with just a tiny servo connected directly onto the throttle cable. But making it work will be a delicate operation.
Teams, you have 3 happy hours remaining. 3 jolly, joyful hours of happy building remaining, teams. Thank you.
While Tim fiddles at the sharp end, Gary wants sharp ends all over their van.
We've only got about 3 hours, guys. We've got to start thinking about armaments.
I've collected a load of poles and RSJs and stuff.
We'll have an armaments meeting as soon as we've got this done.
Some of the most sophisticated ROVs have been developed for military use. This remote-controlled lorry is driven from the vehicle behind. All the controls are connected by cable from one cab to the other, and the safety advantages are obvious. Over long distances, radio-controlled links and onboard TV cameras mean soldiers can wage war many miles behind the front line. And there are civilian applications, from firefighting to underwater survey, and in the future, exploring new worlds.
Back on the heap, the Megs are also on the hunt. Not for Martians, but for armaments.
Oh, Darren, are you there?
I've got a piece of 2-inch solid steel bar, which would make an ideal weapon.
It's going to stand there.
It should make the perfect arm for Nosh's hammer.
All right. Some kind of a flat. Yeah. So it goes da-da-da-da-da-da, doink. Yeah.
The cats are also sharpening up their weapon plans.
Cut the main body off this and have out the front.
Gary's slaving away on a rear end ram, but Tim is still trying to fix their vital throttle control.
Teams, you have 2 tremendous hours remaining. 2 hours,
Tim. Come on, where's that throttle? Come on. We haven't got any armaments yet. We've got 2 hours to go.
That's your job.
In the Meg's camp, Kev is fitting their last control to the automatic gear change. They'll move it between forward and reverse using the winding shaft from a car jack.
The cats are still in a flap. Tim is feeling the squeeze. He needs to finish that throttle before Gary throttles him.
Where's that throttle?
With just a couple of hours to go, the catalysts are set on automatic cruise control, but their beast still doesn't have any claws.
And as Daz quietly does his nut trying to crack Nosh's sledgehammer design, will the Meg's hatchback ever get its full arsenal of aggro? In the pink corner, this year's scrap heap champions, the Catalysts, have packed a shiny fiberglass wagon with remote controls. But it's got no weapons and no throttle.
What are you guys doing now? Other than having a tea break?
What? Turn to us.
We've got 2 hours to go, and we haven't got a throttle.
I'm building a frame at the moment.
Where's this throttle? How long away is Tim from getting that throttle finished? You said half an hour ago, 3 hours ago.
Gary, concentrate on the armaments, all right?
Is it going to be all right? You're going to get there?
I don't know.
The megalomaniacs are also trying to pack some punch into an elderly estate. Daz measures up the vehicle for Nosh's giant rooftop hammer and has a go at welding it on. It's an operation which requires delicacy, something the Megs aren't renowned for.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I've put a hole in the roof. Got to watch out for that.
Daz hasn't found a way of making his hammer stay upright. The only way it'll work at the moment is if Kev holds it. But he won't be able to ride Boadicea style in tomorrow's competition.
Weapons of war have existed for considerably longer than the horseless carriage. Throughout history, military campaigns have provided a springboard for many different kinds of technological innovation. On the battlefield, formidable machines are created to support the troops in the front line. Throw in a set of wheels and, by George, you've got a veritable vehicle of vengeance to vanquish your enemy!
Back on the heap, the cats are in full throttle crisis.
Yeah.
Tim, we think we've got to get on with some armouring work, mate. We think that
we've got no throttle at the moment.
Yeah, but
if they're to build any weapons in the remaining time, they'll have to leave Tim to sort out the throttle control on his own.
James, yes. Carry on working with it until we're allowed to use grinders. Then it's all hands to the pump to armour this thing up.
The Megs are also going weapons crazy. As well as the hammer, Nosh has got a plan to mount a motorised flail on the roof of their car.
The Meg's flail is made up of a short chain on the end of a pole, mounted on the roof and sticking out either side of the car. The idea is to use a starter motor to spin the pole, so that as they charge past their opponents, the chain should thwack the cats on the roof and score the maximum 30 points. Kev and Daz are having doubts about Nosh's design. The flail pole is bent and they're worried that when it spins, it'll jam against the roof and break.
Yeah.
It's bent.
So?
Well, when this is going round, it's going to rip this mount off, isn't it?
put more weld on.
Fair enough.
Now it'll stick.
Nosher has spoken. More weld you shall have, sire.
Teams, you have a lovely, languid hour of construction time remaining. 1 hour remaining, teams.
While Shane puts a suit of protective armour on the front of the cat's van, Gary's knocking up some rooftop armaments, also using chains. But his version looks more like a beaded curtain. Gary's chains are designed to brush over the Meg's machine as they drive past, and will simply caress the target zones to score maximum points every time.
No, it's quite surprising, isn't it? Because we would have put £1 million at the beginning of the day on the Megalomaniacs being the team who ended up with, like, a tank.
Huge tank, exactly.
And the Catalysts, who sort of had a polite little one that was going to nip in and around and be very clever. Yeah. But actually, the Catalysts win on brute, it's hands
enormous.
Down.
The front of that vehicle is hugely
It's really
strong.
Solid. Actually, you know, here's the thing where I think the Megalomaniacs have got the edge, because you know that their flaily bits are attached to starter motors in the middle of the roof. So they're going to be, even though they're not, they're going to be
spinning,
spinning
around all the
like
time.
Mad. Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know
so
that.
That's actually, that's quite, that could do some damage. Whereas, I mean, these, the Catalyst
ones,
they're
a little bit sort of droopy. They're not going to do any damage, but they could score points if they brush over the roof gently. I don't want them to wallop the roof.
Exactly, smash
brush
the
it.
Roof in.
They could have made the whole thing out of silk. Ridiculous.
The Megs have discovered a vital ingredient is missing from their spring-sprung hammer.
Springs. We have no springs.
We have springs.
We have springs. We have no springs fitted.
We have no springs fitted, correct.
This is the much heralded inertia hammer.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about that is I can see how it's going to come down once.
Yeah.
Is that all it's going to do?
No.
So how's it going to nip back up there?
Well, we're working on springs at the moment. It might be bungee straps.
Right.
Or bits of rope or anything.
But I still don't see... I mean, I can see how it's going to boing down, but how can you be sure it's going to... Because it's not much of an angle back. How does it stop keeping flacking down?
Not entirely sure yet.
It's a work in progress, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of... Where are we going to put the spring? Let's have a look.
Next door, the Catalysts are making speed on their weaponry.
Help me set the throttle up.
But Tim still hasn't got his throttle under control.
Yeah, that's on minimum now.
Teams, you have 30 minutes 30 remaining.
Minutes,
30 minutes, Dean.
30 minutes, guys. Come on, let's go.
So they've got 30 minutes left.
Yes.
Which is not a great deal of time, considering there seems to be rather a lot to do.
Yes. The megalomaniacs seem to have caught up, as far as I can see, so I think it's going to be a pretty close match.
Yeah. And what about their rather bizarre hammer idea? Do you think that's going to work?
I think it'll work, but my fear is that it's going to fly at the wrong time.
Yes.
So as soon as they put the brake on, then the hammer's going to come down, and I guess the catalysts won't be in the way at the time.
Yeah.
But if they do hit the catalysts, that's going to hit them pretty hard.
Yeah. Okay, so flipping over to the catalyst tab.
The catalysts have the advantage of being able to catch the megalomaniacs on the side,
yeah.
And the megalomaniacs have the advantage of being able to catch the catalysts
front
with
top.
Their forward-falling hammer. It's going to be pretty close, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So your money's still with the catalyst now? I mean, you're not going to swap sides?
Oh, it's got closer. It's got closer.
Yeah.
And I think my money is just on the catalyst, but if you'd reduce the bet from 50 to 25, I'd be happier.
But the heat is on the cats to polish their van off to perfection, including that fiddly throttle.
But I mean, it's sort of coming, you know, it is coming together. The controls are all working well, though. The steering, the...
Yeah. It's sort of there. But it was sort of there at lunchtime. And now it's not lunchtime.
It's a bit later than lunchtime. It's gone
and
a bit...
That's why I'm getting a bit tense.
But, and Tim's had quite... He's been working on throttle a while.
It's a bit tricky, that
one. It's obviously very tricky.
And it's all precision-y stuff and little
spiddly-biddlies.
Yeah, he's good at that. And I lost it with him a bit earlier, which is a bit unfair, because he's working very hard.
I know,
he's good at that. It's just I suddenly felt, oh, my God, everybody needs to work on big armaments and plating and things.
Yeah.
The Megs have sprung their hammer.
Oh. They're going to die. They're going to die.
And it's put some bounce back into Nosher as well.
The dance is on.
The springs work. Ah, you're all doomed, I'm telling you.
Teams, you have 10 minutes remaining. 10 minutes remaining, teams. Thank you.
Tim's finally ready to test the throttle and see if the van's got a voice. The tiny servo must turn if they're to tickle their engine's tonsils.
One on there, about there. The last weld needs to be...
Very good.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you.
At last, the van is ready to roll.
With minutes to go, the cats pile on their heavy metal weaponry.
The Megs spring into action with armour plating for the front and sides of the car to protect the engine and tyres. Time for a quick prayer, and then all they need to do is tidy up that loose front door.
Smack that.
Get back in that hole, you beggar.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Me!
Your tools, unwield your welders, psych up your servos, because tomorrow it's war!
Hey!
Can the catalysts vanquish the megalomaniacs in their venomous van?
Or will it be the Megs who barge their way to victory with their flailing dervish of a family estate?
Welcome to the grand final. It's test day, and have we got a feast for you. The location is a disused quarry, but we've turned it into a super stadium for our steel-clad street fighters. It's a coliseum of car jousting.
The teams will face off for three rounds of combat inside our ring of death. They'll score points for hitting target zones on each other's vehicle or for shoving each other outside the ring. After each round, we'll increase the size of the ring, which means the vehicles can go faster so they can hit each other harder. At the end of it all, the team with the most points will be the Scrap Heap Champion of Champions.
Before our gladiators can fight, they must prepare their mighty steeds for battle. The cats are sticking to Gary's strict tinker itinerary, whilst the blues are busy buffing their newly baptised beast with a special Meg makeover.
It's also time to test their weapons, starting with the motorised flail that Nosh was so keen on.
No, it's a no-go.
Oh dear. All they can do is leave the chains dangling.
Okay.
Perhaps they'll have better luck with the hammer.
There we go. Whoopee!
And then both teams put their scores on the doors. They'll get 10 for a side impact, 20 for hitting their enemy's rear, and 30 for the roof. The cats add some whiskers to their pink panther and give the bodywork a quick makeover.
Hey guys, this ain't changing rooms, you know.
He does look a bit like Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen though, doesn't he?
It's time for the cats to test whether their tungsten tiger has got real raw.
Go, Tim.
Tim is at the helm, operating the radio controls on his own. It's a tall order to coordinate all four functions at once.
My goodness. Oh, my God. That's fantastic. Parking Tim.
Hey, well done.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Good show.
Now it's the Meg's turn. They're operating a two-man control system with Nosh and Daz working in perfect harmony to swing their gladiator round the ring.
Should be forward, yeah.
Bravo!
Very good show!
Top hole!
For both teams, this is the contest to end all contests. The megalomaniacs, kings of steel, and lords of everything, from walking machines to dragsters. The catalysts, mechanical maestros whose precision and teamwork cut a sway through their opponents. Today, one of them must lose their crown.
Teams, the moment of battle is nigh. Prepare to arm your servo-driven steeds of steel and go to war.
You'll have three rounds of 3 minutes each. Now, you'll only score points if you hit the targets on your opponent's vehicle with your weapons. You can't just slam into them. But you can score maximum points by shoving them completely out the ring.
I see you stand like greyhounds in the slips, straining upon the start. The game's afoot. Follow your spirit. And upon this charge, cry God for Gary, Nosha, and your fighting cars!
Yes!
The men in white coats will keep their hawk eyes on the scores and foul play.
It's round one. The teams must stay within the 50-yard ring. If they go outside, they'll give away 50 points to the other side.
On my mark! 3, 2, 1!
And the Moody Maniacs are off!
They haven't quite got the hang of controlling their big Tonka toys. The machines need careful handling. Tim's got a lot on his plate, operating all the controls on his own.
But Nosh and Daz must learn to share.
What was that?
Where are you going?
Do you want to go forward?
Backwards, backwards, backwards,
yeah,
backwards.
I'm going backwards.
Forwards. No, backwards. Backwards!
It is.
Missed it.
Forward.
Our first hit, but there's no score. Like a couple of angry rhinos, they're less interested in hitting targets than in shoving each other out of the ring.
It's like a beautiful car ballet.
Oh.
It's time to throw a few punches.
They've lost their furry bit.
20 points for a rear hit.
Yes.
But the cars are over the line. That's a 50-point giveaway for both teams.
The whole ramrod just ripped out.
Completely off the catalyst machine, just hanging. Oh, no, it's gone. Completely gone.
Oh, no.
The Megs are trying for a side impact, but they've got to keep their turning circle tight. That's 10 points. A fantastic performance from the Megs. If only they could work their brakes a bit better.
Oh, no. He's out the ring.
Yeah, stop.
That's 50 points. 50 points for us. He's out the ring.
Yes.
Excellent.
Reverse. Now reverse.
Forward. That's a ram into our radiator. Don't like that one.
That was fun.
Yes.
I love
ridiculous.
That. I love it.
It's the end of round one and time to inspect the machines for damage.
Now you know you were meant to stay inside the ring.
Both teams crossed the line 5 times, giving their opponents 250 points. Only the marshals know how many more they've scored for actual hits.
Cats, 250.
250 points.
Yeah. And Megs, 280.
Whoa! Yeah, baby.
The Megs scored a rear and a side hit for their extra 30 points. The Cats didn't score any direct hits at all.
We didn't score any points.
Oh.
That's disappointing, isn't it?
It would have been better just standing still.
We should have just turned the engine off and waited for the finish.
Yeah.
Would have been winning.
What are you going to do in round two? Turn the engine off and wait for the finish.
Wait for the finish.
It's round two. The ring is now 100 yards across. The Megs lead by 30 points.
3, 2, 1!
Go!
Here we go.
Go. You go for the 20. Yes!
Oh! The Maniacs have smashed it.
Oh, that was a vicious...
The Megs are off to a tremendous start with a side impact for 10 points. That'll please Gary.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Come on, Megs.
Go on!
Oh! Nosh is out of the ring again, but the Megs don't seem to care. They've got the big cat in their sights and they won't let go.
Keep it in the ring.
Go!
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, they're out again. Ah, Nosh!
But that's another 50 points given away.
Back it up.
That was a vicious, vicious smash.
The Megs are doing what Megs like to do best, giving those cats the runaround.
Oh,
No.
Oh, yes.
It's just ones of destruction.
Forward.
Okay.
But the cats are fighting back.
Oh, yes. Ah. Oh.
We're in forward.
Oh, it's got to go. Got to go.
Right on target. 10 points.
The tide is turning. Oh, no. Nosh has lost his weapon.
Oh, the hammer's gone.
Stay in the ring. And one of their front tyres.
Oh, nearly back.
Reverse.
With seconds to go in round two, the Megs are sitting ducks. It's Tim's chance for glory.
He's gone completely out of the ring.
But he's missed it.
Oh, no!
Why didn't respond to the brakes when you were going flying out? Or?
Because I forgot to do them.
That was really good fun, wasn't it? I loved that.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
What's the hardest thing about driving?
Coordinating everything. Because once it's moving, it's very difficult to stop. And it's so easy to just drive out of the ring.
I do like the idea of actually removing the target when you hit it, just to make sure everybody knows.
Yeah, everybody knows we hit it.
Ah, here we go. Scores. Very
scores.
Good.
Scores.
Oh, the cats have now got up to a total of 390 points, but you have got up to a total of 460 points.
Yes!
Guys, well done.
Have we scored any points at all yet in this entire competition?
There was definitely a clean shot on theirs. Right. Don't be downhearted.
We can do it. We can still do it.
We can still do it.
As well as repairing damage, the teams are adding extra weapons to their cars for the final round. We've also added a yellow target worth 100 points on the front of each car. With only 70 points between the two teams, it's still anybody's fight.
So as the catalysts are a bit behind, if you were the catalyst driver now, what would your tactics be?
It's a hard one, because I think with the catalyst having those chains dangling around, it's probably easier to get lots of 30 points by brushing the sides than to risk the high-scoring 100 points. So I think I'd take a cautious approach if I was a catalyst, and I'd take the aggressive approach for the 100-point scores if I was a megalomaniac.
Round 3. The arena is now 150 yards across, and the teams can truly joust.
OK, on my mark, let's start round 3! 3, 2, 1!
It's the fight to the death!
They're locked in a deadly embrace.
Yes!
Tim escapes, but he's still having trouble controlling the brakes. With the scores so close, both teams need to go for the 100-point targets. But the Megs just can't resist the glory of a side-smashing 10.
That was brutal.
It takes Tim to tango as the catalyst chains caress the Meg's rear end for 20 points.
Good steering, good steering.
30 seconds to go! 30 seconds!
The cats are still behind by 70 points. Their only hope is to hit the 100-point target. It's a direct hit from the catalyst's jousting pole. But it looks as if the lance and the chains have both scored 100 points.
Their chain is actually touching the 100-point mark. So I think that's two hits, so I think they're ahead. That's the end! Time is up. Both teams seem happy with the final round, but the cars don't want to stop playing. Nosha can't kill the throttle. The car is out of control.
Kill! Kill it!
You better kill it!
Kill it!
Kill it!
Kill it!
Kill it!
Kill it! Kill it!
Sit to the back, sit to the back.
Well, that was an interesting finish.
Let's
It's time for the final score.
Well, the final scores in the last round, the Megalomaniacs scored 60, but the Catalyst scored 230. So, the Megalomaniacs final 520, but the Catalyst final 620.
Oh, fantastic team, well done. Well done.
Such a brilliant finale.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So the first to receive their medals are our gallant runners-up, the Megalomaniacs. Expert Ian, the robotic wizard, Scavengers, Kev and Daz, and the mighty Nosher.
And now, the unbeaten champions, Kings of the Heap. Expert James, Scavengers Shane and Tim, and their indefatigable captain Gary. Champions among champions, the Catalysts.
You certainly deserve that. Oh, the final champagne bath of the year.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was brilliant, Tim. Fantastic bit of driving in the end there, mate.
Next tonight, we're looking at the plans to build a city and a pyramid in Tokyo. But is this the urban future for us all? It's Extreme Engineering after the break.